What's the most important resource that you have? If you really thought about this deeply, I think you'd come to the same conclusion that Joey and I did. It's time. In our newest book, What's Without Wall Street, The 3 Steps to Financial Freedom Through Passive Income, we talk about how are we tracking that time? What is the thing that we can do to get more of that time back?
That's right. If you've ever been listening to our podcast and thought, man, it would be amazing if I could take all the things that you guys have learned over the last 10 years and just summarize them, put them in some way to easily digest them and take action, that's what this book is all about. You're not going to want to miss it. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/new book and get your copy today.
Picture this. You started a business so that you can be free and you can create more time in your life. And yet now all you do is own the job and you're working twice as hard as you ever did for somebody else. That's why you need to listen to today's podcast with our friend Leith Mazarway.
Yeah. If you're really looking to scale a business, you're looking to get more of your time back. This is not a pitch for the E-Myth, which is actually a great book by Michael Gerber, by the way, but this is really how do we use specialized talent to help us grow our business. And virtual assistants are the way now, right? We've hired, I don't know, up to this point, 5 or 6. It has become a way for us to be able to actually have people working for us while we sleep, because half the time they're on the other side of the world, but also very skilled and very passionate about helping you grow your business. And we think as you're growing an investment business, you're growing a personal business, an active income, because it's all about turning active income into passive income, you got to find wins. You got to find ways to put more money in your pocket, but also spend less time and effort on that so you can spend effort and time on higher producing activities. That's why you should be listening to this episode. Let's jump in right now.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Wealth Without Wall Street tribe, get ready to buy back your time with our good friend, Leith Mazarway. Leith, so glad to have you.
Thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
Leith, I'm a business owner. I'm an investor. Tell me why I need to have a virtual assistant in my life.
Straight shooter with the first question. I love it. There's not like one particular reason. So I'll give you a couple. As a business owner, like as you grow and scale your business, you need a team. You know, specifically, whether it's operations, marketing, sales, et cetera, you're going to need team members to grow and scale your business. The reason people typically hire virtual assistants or offshore talent is number one is affordability, right? You know, you typically will save about, I would say, an average between 50 to 75% on payroll costs. You know, and people typically hire because they don't have to pay for, you know, they don't have to deal with all the HR payroll benefits. Like you hire a VA for, let's say, you know, $2,000 a month, and then it's just $2,000 a month. You complete write off for your business, which makes it super beneficial. Two, it's good to diversify your team. You know, different cultures, different backgrounds. You know, when we offshore talent, it's, you know, the Philippines or, you know, Latin America. And I think there's like this negative connotation about like, you know, entry or low skilled, you know, workers when you offshore, but it's like the complete opposite. I mean, you could hire people that are like, you could hire people that are entry level, but you could also hire people that are mid to senior level, you know, positions that companies hire here, you know, for like $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000. I know it's hard to believe, but you could actually offshore a lot of those positions for a fraction of the price. But like, man, dude, they're highly skilled. A lot of our team members have a bachelor's degree at the minimum. You know, master's degree is also, you know, something that we see quite often. They work really hard. I always, you know, say this. It's a little funny, but I always say when you hire somebody, you're in the United States, and hey, I have United States team members. You say on an 8-hour shift, the study says they typically work 3 hours and 45 minutes of productive work. And I always say when you offshore talent, when you get somebody to work 8 hours, they typically work 10. And that's just because they love what they do. And we try to hire specialists and people within their zone of genius that really excel. So when you hire somebody like that, they're going to just try to do, you know, what's best for their business. And I know there's that saying, you can't find somebody that's invested in your business as much as you do. I challenge you, when you hire somebody offshore, you'll find somebody that's really interested in making sure your business grows and scales, because it's a win-win situation.
Well, Joey and I have personally experienced that, right? Like, we've hired several team members to your company assistantly, and it's been a super success. Hence the reason why we wanted to share that with you, Tribe, is that we believe whether you're running a business or you're running an investment business, there's a real opportunity, if you haven't already started looking into this space, to multiply your time, right? Like, really, we've got to start thinking about the deals that and the jobs that we're doing that are below our pay grade. And we have to start finding talent that can get those jobs done in their area of genius, so that we have that, so we have less, you know, frustration of doing things that we don't like. The question I have for you though, Leif, as we kind of dive into this, is how did you get into this though? Like, where did you start? And maybe that'll give us some insight of where we should go next.
Yeah, I guess I could be like my own case study. I had a real estate marketing company prior to Assistantly. You know, during the pandemic, we got super, super busy because we really focused on virtual tour technology at the time. And there was no open houses. All the real estate agents and professionals here in Southern California needed virtual tours for their properties. And we were just getting hammered. And we had such a small team. I was still obviously early 20s at my time. I had no idea how to hire people. And when I was looking to hire somebody in the United States, I was like, oh man, this is expensive. Holy crap. How am I going to be able to hire somebody in the United States? Still keeping my margins. It was like almost impossible. But I was also doing like admin, operations, sales, client communication. I was doing a little bit of everything. And it was hard for me to take clients on and scale the business when I was doing like a core function of a lot of what I needed in the business. Somebody, you know, actually noticed that I was not doing so great on my client communication and saying, hey, it's been taking you like days to respond when typically you respond in 5 minutes. And I don't know what I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry, we're really busy. And he's like, you need to hire a virtual assistant. And when I heard virtual assistant, I thought it was like an AI tool or a robot. I didn't understand what that meant. So I was like, okay, cool. Can you connect me to finding this virtual assistant, this genie? And I got introduced to somebody, called me off a 949 area code, which is Newport Beach, California. So I had a good conversation on the phone. We got on Zoom, really great positive attitude. And I thought the person I was talking to was in Irvine, you know, or Orange County, California. When I asked her where she was from, she said the Philippines. And I like just stood there for like 30 seconds. And I was like, wait, you're from the Philippines? I go, what time is it there? She goes, oh, it's 3 a.m. And I go, you're working? And she goes, yes. And I go, how much coffee did you drink? She goes, none. And I go, what? And I knew her because I've had conversations with her like for years. And I go, wait, this whole time you were the one working with him? I thought you were in the office in Irvine, the one doing all the administrative and operational support and communication. And she goes, yeah, that's me. And I was blown away because I was like, wait, so how are you in the Philippines, but you're working for a United States-based company and you guys are like on two separate parts of the world? And I thought it was fascinating. And again, this is during a time of the pandemic where everything went remote. So then I was like, oh, wow, remote work potential. And I asked her a simple question and I go, okay, you're obviously highly skilled. You're highly educated. You do 10 to freaking 15 different things for your clients. And I asked her, I go, how many people are like you in the Philippines that are highly skilled, highly educated, that are like wanting to work for US-based or Canadian-based or Australian-based companies? And, you know, she's like 40 to 60,000 people. And I just was like, oh my gosh, that's a huge talent pool in the Philippines. And she goes, that's just from what I know. There could be more. And which there is, there's actually a lot more than that. And then I kind of just had the idea because I knew so many people in real estate at the time that like always asked me, I need help with admin. I need help with marketing. And I'm like, why are you contacting me? I run my own business. I can't help you. But I always needed, like, I always knew that they needed some sort of an assistant, somebody to help offload tasks for them so they can actually like worry about their own business, you know, work on their business. And then like, especially real estate professionals, like time is a huge thing. You know, they're working like Monday to Sunday. They're all over the place. And I think a lot of them just needed more time back in their day just to, you know, focus on family or either business. And I told her, I go, hey, I think I want to start a VA company. And she was super confused. She goes, you just learned what a virtual assistant was 45 minutes ago. How are you just going to go start this company? And I go, I don't know. Well, I'll figure it out.
Man, does this sound familiar, Joey?
Yeah.
Do you know my business partner? Let me introduce you. I got to jump in here for a second, like, because this is super timely. Just this past week, I met somebody who's a business owner, and he, just be quite frank, was just burned out. He was just telling me, he's like, man, he had five kids at home. One of them has already gotten married and moved out. And so he's kind of in this stage where he's starting to see how little time there actually is with your kids. And he's like, I'm just getting burned out, man. I cannot be present for these kids the way I want to be. And I'm so required to be at the office. And I said, well, man, one of the things that we talk about on our show all the time is how, like, being a business owner is one of the fastest ways to financial freedom, because you can take a business that you've become, like, that you've built, and you can start to hire yourself out of that business, right? Buy back your time by putting specialists. I love that you said that at the beginning, like, is that we hire specialists to come in. They come in and they're really good at this one area of the business that you may not be that good at, but you're just doing because you don't know any better, right? You just know that you're supposed to run the business and somebody's got to do it, so might as well be me. That's the kind of the thought process. But I said, man, if you could keep your business but just become less and less a requirement on it from the time standpoint, that's the fastest way to financial freedom. And you know what he told me is, he said, well, man, 2 weeks ago, like, me and the partners, we just decided we're just going to have to sell because we just couldn't even, you know, imagine any less time. And everybody's kind of getting to that age where they want to just kind of move on. And I was just like, man, what a missed potential opportunity, you know, that this could be him. Like, he could be hiring these people. Now, again, not every business is possible to do that. But sure. I just see the idea of leveraging talent from wherever in the world they are to help you become more passive in your own business. Or if you've got a side hustle, like so many people in our community have started some sort of side hustle, that they start to hire themselves out of that business, or at the very least, they lower their monthly expenses by getting the one of the highest expenses in any business is always payroll, right? And so for all these reasons, Tried, there, you need to tune into this, because there's so many ways that this can help you get to financial freedom. And again, having personal experience with Lath and his company, we couldn't, you know, stop from sharing this with you.
All right. So Lath, you mentioned that you started this business 3 to 4 years ago. How many hires have you made up to this point?
Oh man. I mean, if you're talking about like for clients or talking about for myself?
Yeah, for clients. Well, you could say for yourself, but also clients. Yeah,
sure. For clients, I mean, we're above 500 plus, you know, in hires. You know, whether they're from the Philippines, Latin America, et cetera. And we work with a various amount of industry. I mean, we work with the solopreneur, like Joey said, like the solopreneur that's like either starting a side hustle or has his own business as like a team of one, all the way up to like, you know, the AppSumos of the world that do like 100 million plus in revenue. So that we cover like a wide spectrum. We don't just work with these like mid to the like these large enterprises. We also really specialize on that solopreneur as well. And then for my internal team, I mean, like, again, I'm a specialist guy. So like, I like to hire specialists, not generalists. And I think a lot of people make that mistake where they hire a generalist to try to, you know, do admin, operations, marketing, and sales. And what typically happens is they're really good at admin, they're really good at operations, they're shitty at sales, and they're shitty at marketing. Right. So like what I've always done, I'm like, okay, let me hire a really good marketer. So, you know, I have a CMO and a marketing team. All right, cool. Now I have an operations person. I have an appointment setter, you know, who is crushing it. I have a recruiter. I think of like a business like an assembly line. Everybody does their part, you know, and then I also have people that like support just in case that person, for example, is sick or gone or not feeling good or, you know, leaves. I have somebody backup support that can just quickly jump in. There's like the admin. There's the operations, there's the marketing, and then there's the sales. And that's in any business. And I like to really, you know, focus in on hiring specialists for each one of those. Because one, it's good to have people that are like really love what they do, that work in their zone of genius. Like I'm really big on the whole zone of genius, because they're really good at what they do and they love what they do. And you want to hire people that actually love what they do, so they're like stay for a very long time. I want people that stay with me for like two, three, four, five, 6 years. I don't want people that are like, I guess I'll do admin. I don't really like it, but I'll do it. You know, because you already know in 6 months, they're going to, some shiny opportunity is going to come. And then they're going to be like, I want to go do what I actually want to do. So yeah, I mean, I've grown the team. I've scaled back the team. You know, I do have US-based people. It's not like I'm strictly Philippines or Latin America. I do have higher level US-based people, you know, my CMO and, you know, different head of client success that, you know, I have people that are United States-based. So I'm not discouraging people from hiring United States because I have it myself. I don't want people to say, you know, think that just go hire in the Philippines and Latin America because that's not what I'm advocating. I'm advocating that you should because it could support your team and different functions of your business, whether it's, you know, you want to save more time, save more money, or reduce stress.
No, that's good stuff. All right. So you shared with us the things that we need to be considering not doing, right? Like not just trying to hire generalists, but we have to focus on hiring specialists. I want to dive into, you kind of teed me up at the beginning. You said, man, Russ, there's three steps to really hiring a virtual assistant that's going to help you save time, right? Big on saving time here, but also help you grow your business. And that business could be in many different ways. So what would those three steps be? And let's get into those, because I think from a tactical standpoint, I want those who've never hired a virtual assistant, just like where you were, you know, 4 years ago, I want them to know, what are those three components? What do they need to be thinking about?
Yeah, I mean, after a couple of years, it took me a couple of years to really realize, right, you know, and adjust and pivot. But like number one is you need to know what role you're hiring for, or at least a general gist of what you're hiring for. You know, we help typically our clients create a job description, you know, but when, like, let's say you don't go through us, I always advocate people that you need to create a job description, an overview of the role, tasks and responsibilities of the role, the skills you're requiring for the role. You know, hey, maybe some people require an assessment, you know, like, you know, let's say you guys say, hey, I have this job description. And then I also have this assessment just to make sure they're a fit. Like that needs to be pretty fine tuned from the beginning. That way you could get qualified talent for those positions. And that's typically the always way we try to articulate in detail those job descriptions as much as possible, because the more detailed we can get, the more specific niche talent we can get for those positions. So job description is number one. And that's something that you could schedule a call with us. You could say, hey, I'm all over the place. I need help with X, Y, Z. And I'm like, we'll pinpoint you in the right direction. And then we'll actually create the job description for our clients. So we take that off their plate, which makes it a lot easier. Cause again, people are like, I need admin. And there's like, all right, let's start with, you know, an executive assistant first. All right. Maybe you need somebody in operations. So we kind of evaluate that and then we create the job description accordingly.
If you've listened to our show for any length of time, you've heard us talk about infinite banking and how we were able to use that concept to create over $50,000 a month in passive income. But it's just not that easy to figure out, how does this all connect into my own personal system?
Stallion, that's why we created the Passive Income Operating System, bro. It shows you how to turn active income into passive income. It makes all the steps come together. If you would like to get access to it as a podcast listener, we've never given this away in public before, go to wealthwallstreet.com/POS. There was nothing worse than walking into class when you're in school and the teacher saying, pop quiz day. Why? Because you were unprepared. Are you unprepared though for financial freedom?
Don't be. Find out how close you are by taking our 30-second quiz at wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/quiz.
Let me jump in there, Tribe, just to point this out. So this is a huge weight off of any entrepreneur's mind that's like, okay, I need to hire. Let me just put that off until I create this job description. And what happens? We just keep doing the job. And we never stop to create the job description. Maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just Russ. But I don't think so. I think we all kind of struggle with that. And you just mentioned like setting up a call. I'm going to just point you guys real quickly. We created a place for you to connect with Leigh. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/assistantly. The link to get a meeting set up and some other, I think he's got a downloadable that we'll put on there. Some other resources there for wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/assistantly. But just not allowing the issue of not having a job description to hold you back, that could save you months potentially of continually put that off. Man, that's huge. So outside of number one, having the job description, number two, what's the next step?
Yeah, number two is, you know, once you have that job description formulated, it's the more tedious part of, like, you got to sift through resumes, you got to figure out, you know, which resumes, you know, work best for the position, then you got to coordinate interviews, and it's kind of a lot of back and forth. But what we do is, when we recruit for our clients, we set up three candidates, the best three candidates that we think are best fit for suit for the position. So, like, you don't have to worry about sifting through resumes and coordinating interviews, because you're going to see, when you post the job, you're going to get like 100 plus people, you know, applying. And then what's going to happen is you're going to be like, I don't have time for this, right? I'm just going to do it myself. This is too overwhelming, you know, for me to get into. So, like, that's why we take care of that process. We make it overwhelming for ourselves first. That way you don't have to be overwhelmed on your own. And then what happens is, we'll present you three candidates. We'll send a PDF resume. We're really big on video. So we'll send you a video resume. So that way you could see, people always ask, how's the communication? Communication's fantastic, both verbal and written, and you get to see that in the video resume. And then also that video resume, you get to see, you know, them talk about their experience and why they are fit for you specifically. And then you get to pick. Let's say we present Kate, Jack, and Johnny. You can interview all three of them. You can interview one or two of them, and then we coordinate the interviews on your behalf, because we want you to feel comfortable with the person you're hiring. So we will coordinate the interview. You'll go in into an interview session. It's kind of like a speed dating round. You're not actually dating anybody, but it's like, think of it like, you know, 30 minutes. You're more than welcome to do a second round, but we coordinate all that back end tedious stuff. So that way you could just, I go, hey, you know, Russ and Joe, you're looking for somebody in sales or in operations. I got the job description. I go, you sit back and relax. You get an email, three candidates. You go, okay, Jack and Johnny seem awesome. You coordinate a time and you guys just show up, which makes it a lot easier. It's super streamlined. And then the thing is, like, the interviews are one thing, but we actually help you consult on who we also think is the best hire. So at the end, there's kind of like that, all right, let's talk about these three interviews. You know, let's talk about the pros, you know, of this person, maybe the cons of this person. Let's see who's best for your business based off what we just heard. You know, we might even say, hey, this candidate is freaking awesome, but maybe let's get you another candidate just to compare apples to oranges. So, like, the consulting part is another big part of step two.
Lath, can I get kind of maybe just a layer deeper into this?
Yeah.
What are you talking about in that interview process? One of the things that a lot of solopreneurs have, or new business owners have, is lack of experience at being a good interviewer. What are some of those, like, best practices there that you could give someone that they could take notes on? By the way, Joey, get your pen out. So that way they can actually, you know, perform that interview well. Because I think the fail that I've made in this space is I tend to start talking instead of asking great questions.
Sure.
What are some other best practices you have in an interview, so someone who starts to interview people to be at this knows what are the greatest questions, what are the greatest things to do, and what are the things not to do?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think what a lot of people do, like you said, Russ, is people just start talking about themselves or the company or the role, and it's like you just wasted 10-15 minutes, right? You got to ask questions that are specific for the role. Let's say it's sales, right? Like, one of my favorite questions I ask is, like, you know, how do you handle rejection? You know, and it's very specific to sales. You know, tell me about your track record of appointment setting or setting up appointments for your previous client. So I make the question very oriented to the job I'm hiring for. You know, I'll give you two, like, I guess, hacks or one hack or tip, right? You know, obviously ChatGPT is a big thing out there. And you know, the cool thing about ChatGPT is, if you want to prepare yourself, you're saying, hey, I'm hiring for an operations role. They're going to be doing these three things. Can you draft me six very, you know, great questions I can ask in an interview? I see a lot of, you know, it's people are like always overcomplicated and think they have to create these crazy questions. I mean, I always say AI is your friend. You know, like, use it. It if I put that right now, it'd take me less than 30 seconds. I have 5 to 6 really good questions. And then I can utilize those, you know, as part of our interview sessions. You know, our head of client success is also on there to help ask questions, probe questions, so that way you guys can understand to see if they're a fit. But best practices is, like, don't just go into the job and say, hey, here's a little bit about me, here's a little bit about the company, here's a little bit about the role. Stay that towards the end, get, like, right into it. Cause I always say, like, the first interview is like a gut feeling. And then the second interview is like, you kind of like get to understand more, talk more about the role and the specifics of it, you know, to see if it's a fit or not. So, like, don't spend too much time on the first interview. It's like more of like a get to know you, ask a couple questions, You know, when somebody says, you know, tell me about your experience, I hate that question, because then you're going to sit there for like freaking 45 minutes of somebody giving you their background story for like the last 15 years. And you're just like, I don't want to be here now. This is really boring. Right. You know, like, so like, don't ask like super generalized questions, ask specific questions for the role, and then like try to make it like 15, 20 minutes on the first interview just to get to know you. And then the second one, you could dive a little bit deeper, because it'll just waste time on the first one.
Well, and Laith, I'm just going to speak from personal experience on your process for a second. Speaking to you, business owner, you've been in this position that Laith just laid out, but you send out the job description, you put it out there. You, like Laith said, you have hundreds of people that apply. You have no idea how to now sift through them to find the best three. So the amount of hours that that just saved you is tremendous. I'm just telling you from experience. Having an email from Laith's team come to me and say, hey, these are three people we believe would be a great fit, and they have a video interview, I literally can spend 20 minutes going through those, not even 20 minutes, probably 15 minutes, watching all three videos and saying, yep, this one's out and these two are good and I need two more. And your team is always like, great, I'll get right on it. They add two more, three more, whatever the case is. And then the interview is set for me. I walk in and it's literally back to back, boom, two, one, two, three, all in one block of time. It's just like, I'm gonna compare it to going to look at houses, right? You have somebody that has literally said, this is all the criteria you want to see in a house. There's five. We're going to go see all of them today. And you're going to be able to compare them because it's all fresh, all at that one moment. Like, I've seen all of them. I remember all the features, benefits, whatever. And now I'm going to be able to make a decision fairly efficiently and quickly. And so I'm just telling you, from the process, there's an amazing amount of hours that are saved through going through this process with you guys. And then to have the person, like you said, your client success manager, who sets all those things up, who then walks you through, okay, tell me about, how did you think that when she answered this way, what did that seem like a good fit for you? Or that didn't seem right to me. Like, they will even bring up the question and not just be like, oh yeah, you should hire who, you know. They're going to actually help you through that process. So anyways, that's super valuable in this process, especially if you've never done it, to have somebody kind of guiding you through that. I just wanted to give that point. Now, before we do that, what's the third step in the process?
Yeah, no. And I'm going to steal that analogy of looking for a house, right? Because I did that. I mean, I do that for offices right now. I tell my commercial broker exactly what I'm looking for, you know, as far as an office goes. He lines up, here's the brochures, here's, and then we just go tour one, two, three, right? Where if I had to go look, do it on my own, I'm like, where do I even start, right? But number three, I say number three is the most important. So I know I talked about the job description. I know I talked about the interviews and consulting, but when you go, all right, cool, I got somebody I like, I think this person's going to be great for my business. Let's say her name is Kate. Now you actually have to onboard them, right? It's not like, you know, Kate just comes in trickling on a high horse, just ready to just, you know, make your business 10 times. Obviously that's the goal, of course, but when you bring somebody on, you have to onboard them for success. So there's a lot of things you kind of have to go over in that onboarding process. You know, how do you like to communicate? You know, Slack, email, phone, text, you know, what are your expectations for this role? What are your goals for this role? Do you have any SOPs or processes for this role? Also get to, you know, let's get to know each other a little bit. So like when we do our onboarding, and then let's say you hire Kate, we will onboard you for success. So we'll go like 1 to 6, let's get to know you. Let's talk about a little bit more about the roles and responsibilities. Let's talk about expectations, you know, let's talk about SOPs and processes. Like, we'll kind of go one by one. That way at the end of it, you're like, wow, I'm ready to rock and roll with my team member. They just made it super easy for me to just start delegating accordingly, you know, because like the communication preferences, like you need to get them access to your tools and platforms, you know, like it's going to seem super overwhelming because you're like, I went through this whole process and I hired somebody. Oh, shoot. Now I actually have to onboard them and get them connected to all my stuff. And again, that's a super overwhelming process as well. So we try to like guide our clients in like, you know, an hour session to make sure that they feel comfortable and they walk out of there being like, all right, this is what we're going to start out with. And let's roll from there. And then we obviously support our clients going forward if they have any questions, any additional support, et cetera. But onboarding and communication, like communicating effectively is like one of the biggest things. And sometimes when people bring them on, they're like, all right, get to work. They're like, what am I starting on? So it's like communicating that effectively, something that we help, you know, with our clients and making sure that, you know, expectations are set and, you know, the tasks are getting delegated accordingly.
A big challenge that you're going to have as you start this process is when you're not working with someone face to face, is that you're not going to think through all of those communication things that need to happen. A tip that you didn't share, it's a great one that your team has shared with us and we've been implementing within those standard operating procedures, is just creating Loom videos for all those things. And it's easier in a Loom video versus in an email to communicate actually what you want to do. You can show someone what you're actually wanting them to do, what you want it to look like. And the nuances sometimes in email or Slack can get missed as compared to when it's verbal, they can actually hear exactly what you're asking them to do. Laith, man, this has been very helpful for those who are looking to scale their business, looking to save time. And Joey, again, what was that URL that we created? So that somebody wanted to connect with Laith and his team to set this up, what do they do?
Yeah, go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/assistantly. That's ASSISTANTLY, assistantly.
Man, That was a spelling bee there for you, brother. Yeah. Good job. Laith, man, thank you so much for coming on and sharing with our tribe. I think this is just one of those small areas, right? Where the whole objective of becoming financially free is to stop trading time for money, right? And it's when we can start offloading some of the tasks that we're currently doing to someone else, then that job becomes way more passive. And your company's doing an excellent job. I know we've hired, I don't know, 5 people now with you guys. So this has definitely been a huge win for us.
Now, thank you guys. I really appreciate it. And I consider you guys good friends and, you know, clients too. And, you know, you guys offer so much value to your network. And, you know, it's good that we get to collaborate on different things. So, I appreciate you guys taking the time, asking some good questions. You know, there wasn't anything that, you know, no curveballs that I saw that you're coming out with, Russ. So I appreciate you guys setting this up. Thank you again.
No problem. Thank you for listening to this episode. I hope you found value with this. If you know someone who's working way too hard and is going through those same pain points that Laith was describing, flip this over to them. Say, hey, by the way, I got an idea of how you can hire a virtual assistant. And no, it's not a robot. It's not AI. It's actually a live person who can potentially even do the job better than you can and can work maybe while you're sleeping, right? Because some of these people are overseas and they can actually be doing a job while we're sleeping, which is really cool. We want to be making money while we're sleeping. We want to have people working while we're sleeping. And I'm not saying you, Joey, on that couch behind you. But anyway, have a great day.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.